All right. Well, we're wrapping up the program once again, as we do probably at least once a quarter here, talking about mental health and the connection between mental health and the threat or concerns about suicidal ideation and suicidal thoughts. And we're doing that with a very appropriate person, a brand new friend to the award-winning For the People. And so glad to meet you. Trish Seaver is the clinical care coordinator with Mental Health Connecticut. Interesting point is that we came to know Trish as a result of outreach to the radio station regarding an event that's coming up over in Bethel, Connecticut, at a great facility called Greenwood Features. If you haven't heard about it or been there, then this is a great way to get to know it. And it's coming up next Saturday, July 18th. It's an event that is going to support suicide prevention and mental health. And it is in memory of a great local musician named Joe Apuzzo, Joe the actual bear, who we lost recently to suicide. This festival is going to take place across two stages with tons of live music. We're going to tell you a lot more about it toward the end of our conversation this morning. But before we get into chatting with Trish, we want to tell you about another great event that's coming up. One of Stratford's favorite end of summer traditions is back. Registration is open now for the 13th annual Sterling Down and Dirty 5K, taking place on Saturday, September 12th at Short Beach. The family-friendly obstacle course invites participants of all ages and fitness levels to run, walk, climb, splash, and laugh their way through more than 18 varied obstacles along the shoreline. Proceeds from the event benefit Sterling Community Center's programs, including the Resource Connection Food Pantry and youth programming initiatives that serve hundreds of local children and families throughout the year. Participants who register by August 15th get an early bird discount and are guaranteed an official race shirt. If you'd like information, if you'd like to be a sponsor or volunteer, go to sterlingdownanddirty5k.com. All right, Trish, great to meet you. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you, John. It's great to meet you, too. Thank you for having me. It's so wonderful to be here.
So Mental Health Connecticut is one of two beneficiaries of this event that's coming up in Bethel on July 18th. We're going to talk about that, but let people know a little bit more about Mental Health Connecticut and what do you guys do?
Well, we have been in Mental Health Connecticut, you know, we have been here for over 100 years now, serving the communities in the state of Connecticut. We provide an array of supports and resources. John, you know, we provide direct mental health services, housing services, education advocacy, employment and educational supports, you know, for those that are, you know, facing obstacles in returning to school but have the motivation. And peer recovery services and a lot of community wellness programs as well. You know, we're really in the community all over the state doing a lot of great work from our residential programs to our community programs.
I like to think every time I have a conversation like this with somebody like you, Trish, that, you know, my hope is somebody's going to hear it, that maybe two people, maybe five people, maybe 10 people hear it. And it will push them over the line to actually engage in a conversation about mental health. And then the ripple effect of that is to slowly chip away at the stigmatism, which is really why it's so important to talk about this, especially in these times when so many of us may feel so isolated, right?
Yes. Oh, John, you said it so beautifully. You know, I was privileged to have worked with, you know, supporting our community with information and resources and supports during the pandemic, actually, you know, when everybody was kind of on lockdown. And I saw during that time period, our overall, you know, outreaches being not only increased, you know, understandably, but also, you know, a lot of more diversity, I will say, in the phone calls, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of first-timers, if you will, saying, you know, I don't know where to start. I've never struggled with this feeling of feeling stuck, you know, or lonely or isolated, you know, like you said, you know, if someone could put that, you know, word on it. you know, and then able to, you know, really articulate and work with them and getting them, you know, access to care that they may need, right? Like therapy and additional supports, right? That could support what they're going through.
Yeah.
With depression, you know.
And I guess maybe it's not a professional way to describe it, but I have to think, you know, when you're alone, the voices that may push people into, you know, thinking about self-harm begin to echo and grow louder. And that's why having this conversation, people say, I don't want to talk about suicide. But for those of us who have experienced it and been the left behinders, as I've often described myself, you know, this isolation issue is really important, and addressing it in conjunction with suicide prevention is critical.
Absolutely, John. And I love the way that you, you know, really framed that in the focus on isolation, you know, because what I found really interesting was not only in my experience, you know, just directly, you know, supporting people that said exactly that, right? And like you mentioned too, you know, once I got to talking to, you know, different people and building a rapport, you know, where they felt, you know, they could trust me, you know, with, you know, some more vulnerable information.
Sure.
You're absolutely right in that a lot of these things were things that the you know, maybe childhood, right, trauma, you know, what have you, maybe they struggled with anxiety, but functional anxiety, if you will, right? That's a coin toss phrase people throw out there sometimes, I know. And it never, though, caused them the extent, you know, of dysfunctionality, if you will, until they were, like you said, alone with their thoughts, right? And then, you know, kind of push them to make that step to, you know, ask for help and just saying, hey, I need it, you know? Mm. And what's so interesting too about what you said too, with the isolation, you know, pattern in its own being such a commonality here, and why, yeah, it should be talked about, because you're not alone in feeling, you know, that way, you know, and feeling lonely. You know, I actually have heard from one of the hotline workers over at 988 that the most common thing he sees, you know, for callers as their foundational struggle is isolation and loneliness. And, you know, he mentions those that may not necessarily be physically lonely, if you will, if you know that makes sense, right? Kind of being lonely, you know, feeling alone in, you know, a room full of 100 people. Mm. But, you know, just that, you know, we're so used to, I think, today, you know, saying, hi, how are you, for example, when we greet somebody, right?
Yeah.
But we don't always feel comfortable saying, not good, in return, right?
Right.
To the acquaintance, necessarily, yeah. Loneliness is a huge factor, you know, even if the person doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, the F word comes into play in a very derogatory way in that situation when you say fine, because if you're not fine, then the best thing you could do is engage someone who you care about or you trust. And you mentioned 988. I'm glad you did, because I remember talking to folks in your line of work over the months as 988 was rolling out as a national program. And then talking about it as it experienced its growth and growing pains. But now we have the data to look back and be able to say, wow, how much of a difference 988 is making in saving lives.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the data is outstanding. I mean, you know, I think it's, 11% to 18%? Around there, you know, for youth, you know, alone, right?
Yep.
Of reduction, you know? And then, you know, even, you know, with the increased volume of 350%, right? Of the 988 contact census service launch in, you know, 2022, only less than 1%, John, required actual, you know, emergency responses, which really, I think, tells us that it's working, And the reason, you know, I really want to mention that, you know, statistic, you know, around the youth in particular that I found to be, you know, really eye-catching to me in that data that you're talking about is I think about myself, you know, and I'm a millennial. So like I'm kind of an in-between generation of technology, if you will. Right.
Yep.
I, you know, yeah, you know, I was in college, when Facebook became, a big thing, so yeah, I can't imagine being an adolescent, or young adult in today's world. But what I always found interesting, I remember when I was young in the field, right, and began doing, case management work, for example, thinking about, for example, I'm 24, if I, I can think back to when I was in, let's say, a dorm, or mm-hmm. a shared living space with peers, I might not want to call somebody and make, and have someone overhear me talking about my most vulnerable things. And I wanted to highlight that because I, I'm curious about the texting option there, because I was always curious about, if that would be a helpful thing, again, when I was younger in the career, younger in life. I'm getting old, I guess, Trish. Earlier in my career. Why can't we text it?
Trish, full disclosure. I'm 64, and I remember being alone in that dorm out in Denver, Colorado on my 18th birthday and thinking maybe this world isn't the best place for me. And there's you never forget that reckoning. And I'm glad we're both still here and being able to talk about it. But we can't let the time slip without talking a little bit more about this Bear With Us Music Festival, which is supporting suicide prevention and mental health. Once again, it's happening on Saturday, July 18th at the really cool Greenwood Features facility in Bethel, Connecticut. This is being held in memory of Joe Apuzzo, Joe the actual Bear. Doors open at 3:30 and performances scheduled between 4 and 11. Two stages of live music from an array of artists representing genres from punk and Americana to folk, emo, pop, and more. Something for everyone, but the reason for being there is what's most important. You'll also get to see a gallery showcasing works of over 20 featured artists and enjoy some chill out space with mindful art activities in the den. There's also a connection station with folks like Trish from Mental Health Connecticut.
Yeah.
And you'll learn about mental health resources as well as getting some great food from local providers. It's all happening, and it's only $45 to support the effort. If you buy your tickets in advance, $60 day of the show. All proceeds from Bear With Us will be donated to Mental Health CT and their sister organization over in New York, Vibrant Emotional Health. That support and power 988 and the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. GreenwoodFeatures.com is where you can go to begin to get information, tickets, and other details. But before we say farewell to you, Trish, in the last couple of minutes that we have, dovetail why community events like this are so important, and then provide us your most important parting message as we say farewell to you for this morning.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again, for, giving me the opportunity to have this discussion. I think it's so valuable. Absolutely. And I think what I, just from hearing the most beautiful stories of the lives that, Joe touched, I think what's so valuable about an event like this is, here you can find connection. A connection leads to prevention, a lot of the stories, that I, again, I didn't know him personally, but am I inspired, just about hearing from him. I mean, I've heard things about people saying, he was going through a tough time, but he took time out of an open mic night to give me a hug, or ran across town to get everybody ice cream. It was dubbed the ice cream fairy, and saying that what helped him in his dark moments, I guess, was helping others. When I saw someone, had mentioned that, I was like, wow. And isn't that, I think such a beautiful highlight of this event and honoring him, because I think connecting with others, right?
Yep.
You never know when that bear hug, right?
Yes.
And makes a difference.
Yep. And it's I also, Trish, I neglected to mention our partners at Bethel Pride. Mm. Bethel Pride is also a big proponent and supporter of this event because we both know, I know through many discussions on this program, through your line of work, that the LGBTQ plus community is particularly touched by this epidemic of suicide and crisis, particularly these days. So in the last minute that we have with you, a quick final word, and we'll say farewell for now.
My final word is, please, you know, if you want to come to an event and there's truly there, as I know John mentioned in our greeting, there's truly there, something there for everybody. You know, there's going to be great music, food, community. I will be there with resources, you know, because again, I hope what a lot of people can get out of this is connection. You know, it's okay to say it's not okay. You know, it's a place where, you know, someone says, you know, hey, how you doing? That, you know, you can find someone that you can feel safe to say, not the best, you know?
Yes. Good.
And I think that ripple effect is a great honor to Joe from what I've heard about him.
Great. Greenwoodfeatures.com is where you start to get information on the Bear With Us Festival. 988 is the number you need to remember. If you're feeling sad, if you feel like you're in a crisis, if you're feeling like maybe you don't want to be part of our world anymore, you're not alone. There is a place to go. And thanks to folks like our guest this morning, Trish Seaver, clinical care coordinator, and her agency, Mental Health Connecticut, they are getting the important work done. So Trish, great to meet you. Thank you very much. And we hope you guys will come out and support this music festival in Bethel on July 18th.